UK Wine Show, show number 33, Plumpton College. G'day, and welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 33 for the 12th of January 2007. This week we're going to be still talking about wine educators. We're going to talk to Chris Foss from Plumpton College. Chris is in charge of the winemaking at Plumpton, and according to several top wine producers in the UK, Plumpton has been the biggest influence in improving the quality of English and Welsh wine in the last 30 years. I have a short extract from an interview with Mike Roberts from Ridgeview, as he was one of the Plumpton graduates, and we did an interview with him on UK Wine Show, show number 24, about 2-3 months ago. You can find notes on the interview with Chris Foss at www.3050.co.uk. Just click on the link podcast on the left-hand side of the screen and it'll take you to a list of all the shows. And you can click on the header and that'll take you through to some more detailed notes about the shows. When I was at the wine show just before Christmas, one of the things that people came up to me and said was, you know, I really like the news. So afterwards, we thought we might beef it up this year. So what we've done is we've added an extra article. It's a bit like today 10 years ago or today 20 years ago, all the way back to about today 100 years ago. So we're just covering the main article that we found for today in the last 100 years. So it's just something a bit of fun, a bit of interesting, but hopefully it'll give you a bit of a depth and an idea of what some of the important issues that were in the wine industry in the past. So let's crack into that with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. Majestic had a bumper Christmas period with fine wine sales helping the company fight off competition from the supermarkets. Sales overall were up 4.4% on last year for the nine-week festive trading period, while fine wine sales leapt by 25%. Generally, wines from Bordeaux, Burgundy, Spain and New Zealand sold particularly well, according to Chief Executive Tim Howe, and champagne sales continued to grow strongly too. The French big guns, Bordeaux and Burgundy, helped boost Majestic's fine wine sales. Tim told us their average claret price is over £10 and they sell very little ordinary AC Bordeaux. Christmas is always going to be good news for a retailer like Majestic because people tend to buy more for the festive season and Majestic has a minimum purchase of 12 bottles. However, it's also the time when supermarkets are full on with special offers. Majestic is proof that you can run a successful differentiated retailer in the face of supermarket competition. Continuing with fine wines, a record price has been paid for a unique collection of 135 bottles of Château d'Yquem. The collection, which includes every consecutive vintage of the wine produced between 1860 and 2003, was sold for £775,000 by the Antique Wine Company in London. The unidentified European buyer takes possession of the most extensive living archive of the world's most famous dessert wine. Not even the Chateau holds all these vintages in its cellars. We asked Stephen Williams, the Antique Wine Company's managing director, whether the older wines in the collection might still be drinkable. He reckons they are. He said Château d'Yquem has the concentration necessary to mature for many years, even centuries. But he added, the enjoyment of such rare wines is not just a question of taste. It is a remarkably nostalgic experience. Back in 1860, when peasants in Bordeaux were picking grapes for the oldest bottle in the collection, the US presidential election set the stage for the American Civil War. The bottles are housed in two bespoke walnut cabinets designed by furniture maker David Lindley. They'll be delivered this week, at which point the identity of the buyer will be announced. Meanwhile, over in Australia, the Australian geographical indications are to be looked after by a new registrar of protected names, with the appointment of Jock Osborne, the Australian Wine and Brandy Corporation's long-standing secretary. Geographical indications provide a framework for protecting the use of regional names under international law. The system was introduced in 1994 to allow Australia to fulfil its agreement with the EU. This ensured improved access for the country's wines into European markets, in exchange for Australia phasing out the use of European geographic terms on its labels, such as Burgundy and Claret. Geographical indications, or GI for short, designate wine areas into zones, regions or subregions in a similar way to the European appellation system. However, they are far less restrictive in terms of viticultural and winemaking practices. In fact, the only restriction is that wine carrying the GI must include at least 85% fruit from that region. Since the system was introduced, 28 zones, 60 regions and 11 sub-regions have been finalised. And this week we look back 30 years to 1977, when Chateau Margaux was sold for £11 million after being up for sale for 2 years. It was sold to a Greek company called the Felix Potan Food Group. It was reported that it would be a relief to the Ginstedt family, since trading had never quite recovered from the recession and their debts were enormous. Thankfully, this first growth chateau is definitely back on its feet. That's all for the news. Back to you, Chris.
Thanks for that, Jane. Who would have thought Chateau Margaux was a distressed sale 30 years ago for £11 million? What a snip. Next up is a short clip from Mike Roberts. Mike owns Ridgeview, which is one of England's premier sparkling wine producers. And he's also a graduate from Plumpton. So we thought we'd get him to say a few words on Plumpton from his experiences. And then we're going to have the interview with Chris Voss. I'm here with Mike Roberts. Mike, you went to Plumpton about 10 years ago.
Yeah, we've actually all been to Plumpton here. My son and I went to Plumpton and did HND in oenology, and he did the same but in viticulture. He then went actually on to do a vintage in Australia with Brown Brothers. But each of our members of staff actually are either students, or they are all students of Plumpton College, who've gone through the foundation courses for their degree course now.
How did you find Plumpton as a student attending the...
Well, 10 years ago, actually, I didn't think it was a long time ago, but you say it is. I suppose it is 10 years. It's a long time, really. But when I went there, of course, the winery was the size of a garage. And if you go there today, it's a brand new winery going in now. It's become real state-of-the-art. It's becoming a fantastic place to study wine with wonderful equipment. So it's changed enormously, but I got a lot out of it. Can I say as well, in some respects, like the best education, it's also learning how not to do things. I was working coincidentally with a contract winemaker as well, in a proper professional winery, and it was chalk and cheese at that point. And I think now Plumpton's become like that winery was. It is, you know, truly professional in the way they handle things, yep. Not doing everything on a diminutive scale. The quality of lecturing has always been good, and I'm sure it still is, or I know it is still, because I am actually on the curriculum advisory panel for Plumpton, and we do quite a lot of things together with them, helping them out in things and having students around here, as well as having a labour force that's made up of either ex-students or...
Do you get to do your winter pruning?
Well, we actually do winter pruning. We tend to use our own... Well, we always take on board two students who are in their course, and that's because they have lecture days free, and they've got to, like all students, pay for their way of life. And we do that for... We pretty well commit to somebody for 2 years, or 3 years, actually, now with the full degree course that it goes on to. And they've been a source of new recruits for us as well. We're not massive employers. We've only got... Outside of the family, we've only got three full-time people.
It's good though, you know the people before you take them on.
Yes, that's very true. And they also know us, and I think they all learn a lot from us.
Next is the interview with Chris Voss. Hi, I'm here with Chris Voss from Plumpton College. What is your role, Chris?
Hi, Chris. I'm head of wine studies here, head of department.
Excellent. How long have you been here doing that?
I joined Plumpton College in 1988.
Yeah, 27 years ago. What were you doing before that?
Before that, I was working in the wine industry in Bordeaux. I mean, do you want to go through, through my whole life history?
Well, not the whole life history. You know, it's only a 10-minute show.
Yeah.
10-minute.
No, I studied microbiology in the UK, but my family's from France. And so after my degree, I went back to Bordeaux and studied at the university there. And then I managed vineyards. I worked at Chateau Diquem in Sauternes, Chateau Rosier Saint-Emilion. And my last post was with the GFA Leclerc, the Leclerc supermarket group of vineyards in the Entre-deux-Mers, where I was winemaker and vineyard manager. I was also ran the family estate because we had a small holding at the time.
Okay. And you came to Plumpton in 1988.
That's right, yes.
And you started the course up, or was there a wine course here first?
No. I started up from scratch. It's taken several years. I mean, it started off as a part-time course for English wine producers. And then we've now developed three full-time courses for both wine producers and people who want to have careers in the wine trade.
You guys do make wine here, though. It's all over your website. You're a semi-commercial winery. What's a semi-commercial winery? Is that like a semi-profitable winery?
Well, we've got a large winery, and it's extremely well-equipped. But, you know, our main interest is in education. So we will allow the students to try different things out, and, well, hopefully it'll all work out in the blend. But still, you know, I always say, you know, the main crop at Plumpton is students, so that they've got to come first. But the students grow vines, and they make wine. And you know, we make very good wine, which wins medals and you know, sells very well.
Okay, and you've got quite a bit of vineyards. How many acres of vineyards have you got?
We've got 15 acres on three sites. There's one small vineyard at Plumpton, but we also run two vineyards, one at Ditchling and another one at Rock Lodge. Both of those are very, you know, well-established vineyards on extremely good sites.
And that produces your wine that you sell. How much wine do you make a year?
Only about between 15 and 20,000 bottles.
Okay. And does everything that the students make go into those wines?
We do throw them away, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, we have to be selective. But that's fine. You know, I'd rather they made their mistakes here than made their mistakes once they've gone off into commercial, commercial winery.
The batches would be quite small at the moment, wouldn't they?
Yes, yes. We have a lot of very small tanks. It's a nightmare trying to keep track of them. But, you know, that's fine. We've got a lot of small parcels as well, and you know, we use lots of different winemaking techniques. So it means that, you know, we've got a good mix of wines to blend with.
So who comes on these courses? You know, is it, WSET students looking to just learn how to trim the tips of their fingers off with shears or what?
There's two types of courses. There's the wine trade courses and the wine production courses. And the students are pretty different, really, because they have this different aspirations. But they do tend to be all mature. The average age on the course is about 30, and the maximum is, well, we normally have, you know, people who are early retirement and that sort of thing. And it's a whole range of people. I mean, they're obviously very driven by wine, very keen on wine. And very often they've travelled to different wine-growing areas. Very often they've had another job, be it from computers. So we've had doctors and dentists and motorcycle couriers and teachers, all sorts of things. And they're either wanting to get into wine production, get into the wine trade, or are sometimes just, you know, buying up their own vineyard somewhere and setting themselves up as winemakers.
Okay. Do you get much international students?
More and more. Yeah, we do. And we get, at the moment, we've got a couple of German students, we've got a Spanish student, a student from Hong Kong, Korea and Thailand. We've got a couple of South Africans, an Israeli. We've got a good range of students.
Why do you think they come here then to say something like the Bordeaux or Roseworthy in Australia?
Well, I think the first thing is that we're in English. I mean, in fact, we're the only college that teaches wine production and wine trade in English in Europe. So if you're, say, for instance, we're getting a lot of interest from Eastern Europeans now, Bulgarians and Slovenians and so on. If you're if you're from Eastern Europe or and you want to learn to make wine, you can do it in English. And you don't have to go all the way to Australia or New Zealand or the US. It's a lot cheaper to study in Europe for Europeans.
Okay.
The second reason, I think, is because we're not a traditional winemaking area, and that plays to our advantage because it means that we can teach all different styles of winemaking. We can teach both New World and Old World techniques, and our students are very flexible when they come out of this course.
Do you teach irrigation techniques?
We do a little bit on irrigation, yeah. But not a lot, because that's certainly something which most Europeans wouldn't consider, but they will do. I mean, you know, irrigation's coming in now, So we will have to develop that side of things. But certainly, no, we don't have, like in Australian colleges, we don't have a whole module on irrigation. The other big advantage that we've got, of course, is we've got the London Wine Trade up the road.
Yes.
So, you know, our students can go up and every day of the week there's a tasting or a competition or a show or something like that. And they can get really, really good tasting experience. And that's really, really important. I mean, certainly for those in the trade, but also for producers. You've got to know what, you know,
what's going on out there.
Yeah.
For sure. So what sort of courses do you have? Is everybody full-time, or how does it work that way?
Well, no, we've got a whole range of courses. We've got some part-time courses, some of which are quite intensive. We also run a correspondence course in conjunction with a college in Hawke's Bay, New Zealand. But our main work is our full-time courses, which can be studied part-time. So we're very flexible. I mean, these full-time courses are fully modularised, and we get students who come in and just do a day a week or a module a year or something like that. And they can build it up to us, just cherry pick little bits of modules that they wish to do. Now, the three main full-time courses are the foundation degree in wine business, for those who want to go into a career in wine trade or set up their own wine business, the foundation degree in wine production for vine growers and winemakers, and the BSc in viticulture enology for those who want to go, you know, either into the larger wine production units or become scientists, enologists, if you like, viticultural consultants and so on.
An enologist, they're just a scientist really for wine?
That's right, yeah. I mean, usually...
it's a bit of a technical term, right? You see it bandied around.
No, that's right. In a large winemaking unit, for instance, there will normally be somebody who's trained up to enologist level, and that person won't necessarily get fully involved in the winemaking, but they'll underpin that with wine analysis and up-to-date technical knowledge. In smaller units in Europe, generally, you know, the smaller wine producers will rely on an enologist, rather like, you know, we go to the doctor or, you know, that sort of thing for advice and guidance.
Okay. What's the numbers, student numbers? You know, how many people are studying at Plumpton and part-time, full-time winemakers, enologists? How's it all broken down?
Right. Well, we started off with, I say, part-time courses. The first full-time course was in 96. We launched that. And we started off with 12 students. We've now got three full-time courses with 60 full-time students on. And then if you add on all the part-timers and you know, and all the other courses, I guess about 200 students altogether would come and study wine every year at Plumpton.
That's a fair bit. How many are overseas students compared to UK-based?
I suppose we're talking about 15%, 10-15%, something.
One of the first interviews we did was with a guy called Owen Elias. He's been the winemaker at Chapel Down, and he's been voted winemaker of the year for a couple of years in a row now. Yeah. When we first interviewed him, he said that Plumpton was one of the key reasons for the improvement in quality of the wine in the UK. Obviously, that makes you quite an important person from a UK wine perspective. Do you want to big yourself up and agree with them, or what?
I think it's, you know, it's a team effort. I mean, we're not, it's not just me, obviously, but I think that the, unless you're within a sort of traditional winemaking system, I think it's impossible really to go out there and just, you know, make good wine commercially on a trial and error basis. You've really got to study it, because it's a very technical and competitive field, and there's lots of things that can go wrong. So, you know, that's what we do. I mean, we try and equip students with the techniques and skills that they need, and also the knowledge to make the decisions that they need in vine growing and winemaking, so they don't make so many mistakes and produce better wines.
Plumpton must be pretty happy with the way things have gone with you guys. You've got a brand new winery. I heard your old winery was something better than a shed.
It was better than a shed, but this is what we've got now is really good. We're really investing a lot on our wine side. I mean, the new building's costing about £1 million, and it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's a large, spacious winery. There's going to be two labs, one research lab and one teaching lab. There's going to be a suite of offices for the wine staff, a beautiful tasting room, lecture room, a couple of seminar rooms, and then an events room, which will be a lovely room where we're aiming to do corporate training. We're aiming to try and move into that market.
The team that's moving into this new wine facility, who are they? What exactly consists of the Plumpton Wine Studies Group?
Right. Well, it's a pretty international bunch. I mean, I've got, as I say, French experience and was trained out there. And I teach the viticulture side of things. But Marianne's from South Africa. She's an MSc in Enology from the Stellenbosch University. Then we've got Harriet. Harriet's from UK, and she's the wine business lecturer, and she's had sort of managerial experience with Odbins and has also worked as an assistant buyer with Bibendum before she came here. Then Peter's was a food scientist. He was a food scientist with Marks and Spencer's and also has a vineyard in the south of France. He's the winemaker here. Kevin's the vineyard manager. He's from New Zealand and has worked in vineyards for about 15 years or so. And then we've got James, who has a catering background and who is responsible for technical support and wine sales at Plumpton.
Just one last thing, Chris, before you go. What textbook do you use for your vinny side of things? Have you got a very good book that you could recommend people to read?
It depends what level you're working at, really.
Assume they're a WSET type person who wants to know more.
Right. I think that from a viticulture point of view, I particularly like the Koomen Dry Viticulture Volumes 1 and 2. They're good practical books on vine growing and very clear. And Bryce Rankin, Making Good Wine, is very difficult to beat from a winemaking point of view. But really, I think probably the best thing is to read the periodicals. I mean, read the Australian, New Zealand Grape Grower and Winemaker.
I get that every year. Yeah. That's every week. A month, isn't it? Monthly.
That's right, a month. And Practical Vineyard and Winery is very good as well. I mean, those are excellent.
Excellent. Oh, thanks very much, Chris.
Cheers. Thank you. Nice.
Cheers. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Chris. Plumpton's got some interesting courses. One in particular I quite like the idea of was a sensory tasting course that really just fine-tunes what you actually smell or taste. It sounds really interesting. Next week, we're going to be talking to Isabel Legeron. She's a Master of Wine student, and we want to get her angle as a student attending one of these courses, what it's like to try and study for the Masters of Wine. So until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show was brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show was produced by Jane Scott and recorded and edited by Chris Scott. The news was read by Jane Scott and researched by Sandra Clement. The music for the UK Wine Show is Griff de Jingle 1 by Marcel de la Jatelle and Silence by Etoile Noire.